With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
So, I mean, how, when we have these stories back and forth of, I know I couldn't have hit him, to, did I do this? I was wondering, could I have done this? And how do we definitively take anything that she says about that night and her recollection of events with any sort of seriousness? I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't believe that she remembers. I've never, from the beginning of this story, when we've heard how much drinking was going on, could she even accurately remember how many drinks she had? Mm-hmm. Because that's another thing. When people start to get intoxicated, they drink more than they think they're drinking, and they don't recall. And it's just like we've talked so much about the Richard Allen case. When a person is psychotic, you can't believe a confession. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing when a person has had a tremendous amount of alcohol and gives you a story about what happened, what they believe happened. You just can't give it credence, even if that's really what they believe. You know, they're not intentionally lying, mm-hmm. but it's the brain is not reliable.
No, it's not at all. I mean, and I've also found it very interesting how it seems she's fairly influenceable. That's at least my take. As strong and as assertive as a woman as she does seem to be, she does seem to be fairly influenceable by whatever's going to work best, quite honestly. That's a normal. It's kind of how humans work. They're going to go for what is going to be, you know, best for their path. But in this case, it was initially being looked at as, you know, did she hit him? She probably hit him, or she was the last person to at least see him, at the least, you know, drunk driving. And I think it is hard to prove that she actually hit him because there's not a lot of physical evidence on his body to show that. Yeah. So I don't know that she actually did hit him. Could it? But you could have been leaning on the car and he fell over. But again, none of it intentional. I don't think she should be charged with murder by any means. I think manslaughter is even getting to be kind of a stretch without more evidence on here. But what went really wrong for me on this, and it doesn't make any sense to me, is why her defense went to coming up with this whole idea that John went into the house, there was this big scuffle, and then they drug the body out into the street, and then Karen is convinced very quickly that this is what happened. She goes from questioning herself, questioning the validity of what she remembers. And she even says her memory's not great there. But then they get this weird call from this, it's like something out of a movie. Weird guy with a muffled voice. And he comes in and says, look at more people in the house. Okay. And then they start going down this rabbit hole of what if there was something of those people in the house? The guy has no credibility. He has nothing that he's coming in with any sort of evidence. It's just saying, look at the people in the house, which could be anybody in that community if they're unhappy with law enforcement. Yeah. You know? But then she's really determined right away, saying, you know what? We know what happened. Take a look at her on the court steps.
Defense says that Reed did not hit O'Keefe, but that he was actually beaten inside of the home and that his body was later dumped outside.
The Peels were the only ones fighting for the truth of what happened to John O'Keefe.
Karen, just to be clear, you didn't do it.
We know who did it, Steve. We know. And we know who spearheaded this cover-up. You all know.
Yes, we do.
And no, she didn't do it. No, she didn't do it. This is an innocent woman.
The defense
has an alternative story about what happened here. There's an alleged police cover-up here. John O'Keefe went inside that house, and the allegation is that something happened in there.
Who do you think it is? Well, certainly the Massachusetts State Police is involved. There are people that were in that house that are involved. Brian Albert is involved. Jennifer McCabe is involved. The rest of the folks that were in that house, there's some level of involvement by every one of them.
How toxic of a statement was that by her attorney, Alan Jackson, of saying everyone in that house was involved? There was kids in that house.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what really set ablaze this insanity, where you get the blogger involved and then you get Karen Reed going down this, you know, it's a light at the end of the tunnel to a road that was very bleak and dark. And it seems she just grabbed onto that. And it's like, yes, this has to be what happened. Mm-hmm. That's what it's feeling like to me. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, it's truly bizarre. The idea that there's going to be this conspiracy to cover this crime up, but yet they dump him in their front yard and leave him out there. You know, that, again, when you try to look at it objectively, it makes no sense.
No, I mean, it makes no sense. I mean, these are officers. They've seen people try to cover up things before. And I think if you're going to try and cover something up, and this was brought up in the documentary, was there's a railroad track behind the house. If you're trying to cover something up and make it look accidental, or just put them near the street where snowplows go, because that would also look like a horrible accident. Why would you just put him in the snow? And by the way, his body was deep in the snow. It wasn't, so that means he was there from very early on. There was no evidence that he was dragged out there later while the snow was falling. And then he was deep under the snow, which would very much point to he was there from very much the beginning of her leaving, or close to that point in time.
Yeah.
It
doesn't add up as a crime. It doesn't add up as a conspiracy. And it just looks like a terrible accident of some kind.
And that's where so much toxic behavior comes in here, is when we get to the conspiracy area of all of this. Because I think she had a strong enough case without even adding the conspiracy in of like, look, nobody's going to know. I don't know. This is horrible, but nothing was intentional. But then the conspiracy angle started, and it destroyed this town. It has destroyed so many lives and so many relationships. And it's all, you know, because of really a weird strategy that didn't seem to make a lot of sense. And a zealot blogger that I think is more interest in this than just trying to find justice for Karen Reed, including his own ego. And I don't know, whatever fantasies may be going on there about Karen Reed. This is very interesting, because this is where it takes a turn. And this is where I think it doesn't make Karen Reed guilty of killing John O'Keefe, but it certainly starts to make her being guilty of becoming a very shitty human being in the light of everything that happened, and in the light of the people that are around her that she supposedly cared about, including the family of John O'Keefe and their parents, or his parents. Let's take a look at this. This is a look into of how the blogging stuff got out of hand, and how Karen basically admits to colluding with him, which I think is a big deal and is not going to fare well when it comes to trial number two. Let's take a look.
Turtle Boy on his Twitter calls himself an award-winning journalist. I'm not sure where those awards come from, but his real name is Aiden Carney. He was a history teacher in Worcester County, and then left and became a blogger.
Joining us tonight, our special guest, blogger, social media personality, Aiden Carney, also known as Turtle Boy.
The Karen Reed case really started to blow up when Turtle Boy started shining a light on Karen's innocence.
What we know it to be is a cover-up. It's outrageous, outrageous.
I've been a big fan of Turtle Boy for many years, and me and Karen, we had some discussion about, you know, possibly reaching out to him because we've seen him uncover some massive scandals.
What really caught my attention was a court filing in April about the Google search. And every page I read further, my jaw just dropped.
That 227 Google search was one of those stories that Turtle Boy reported early on in this case. that the people who support Karen Reed latched onto as evidence of a cover-up.
Court paperwork appears to show a link between murder suspect Karen Reed and the blogger known as Turtle Boy, who was
according to the prosecution, the defense was selectively leaking bits of information for Turtle Boy and sort of guiding him on the path of, hey, this should be your next story, or here's information for a new story.
Defense attorneys have used the media since the dawn of time to forward stories. We wouldn't be in this business if we didn't get leaks and have anonymous sources. So it's definitely a media strategy.
Here's the key part.
My lawyers told me we could share anything with Turtle Boy as long as it was public and not for me to do it directly to go through a third party. And then I started to get nervous about who I was using for a third party. So I eventually just started sending things directly. And then we started talking about the case probably once a day, almost every day, 5-6 days a week.
So this is the guy that has been charged with witness intimidation and a whole slew of other charges related to the case. And this is the guy that she's sitting there and talking with on a regular basis, 5-6 days a week for hours on. And we're going to take a closer look too at just some of the terror that has been inflicted. And I know a big point that was argued yesterday in court by Alan Jackson was, what, Karen's not responsible for this blogger. Karen's not, well, maybe she's not. No, at the end of the day, he's responsible for himself. They're talking several hours a day, 5-6 days a week while he's doing this sort of stuff. I'm going to guess that there may be some discussion of what's going on here and, you know, the damage it may do. I mean, what's your take on this?
Well, it's certainly an unusual amount of contact time. And most people, often in romantic relationships, don't talk to each other all that often. You know, I'm not saying that they're in a romantic relationship, but they're certainly bonded at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It has to have an influence over what's going on. And yeah, his behavior has had a tremendous impact.
So, and that's what makes it even more, again, just angering about her. Again, this is, and this is where you can get kind of caught up in other angles of this story and go, she's guilty because of this. No, she's not. It shows character. I mean, it's like Alec Murdaugh. He wasn't guilty because of his financial crimes. He was guilty because the evidence pointed to him killing his family. But these other things show more of context and more of character, and it makes you go, this is really, but none of this ever to me adds up to being a killer, but God, a horrible judge of character and really just out for attention for yourself and everyone else be damned. I mean, take a look at this. This is essentially what had been going on. The guy she's talking to 5-6 days a week.
Culture cesspool when it comes to Johnny's case. If you don't believe that Karen's innocent, you become a target. And that's what makes it all so terrifying.
It's the parents of O'Keefe being booed
one by one and shaming them.
There have been supporters of Karen Reed who'd call them cop killers online, who call their places of work and call them cop killers.
That's a cop killer right there.
They have been stalking the witnesses.
Hey, John, how you doing? Fancy seeing you here.
Following them to lacrosse games to do nothing other than intimidate a mother, a family, kids. There are no boundaries.
Brian Albert, Colin Albert, every single person who was in that fight, Ryan Higgins, all of them, Matt McCain.
Boo! Boo! Poor Choi.
They had their lives turned upside down, and if you look at the reality of the story, they were trying to do the right thing in the moment, and this is the thanks they get.
It's just unbelievable. All the people in the house, one by one, picked apart by this mob.
Killers!
Johnny would have been disgusted by the whole thing. This is more than dishonest. This is vile.
It's unimaginable what my entire family is going through. I am a witness. That's all I am. I am not on trial. I am a witness. And these people are terrorizing me.
Constant phone calls, emails, awful messages, people emailing my school.
just like a lot of harassment. Can I have a moment, please?
Sure.
It's impossible for me to have any sympathy for any of these witnesses. Definitionally, is it harassing witnesses? Yes, they're witnesses against me in my prosecution. And is he yelling things at them? And is he going up to their front doors and ringing the bell? Yes. But they shouldn't be witnesses. They should have been suspects. So it's not cut and dry.
Actually, it is in the eyes of the law, Karen. It is very cut and dry. You're colluding with this guy who's been charged with these crimes, and you are actively admitting that you're okay with it.
And smiling as she says these things.
Smiling and laughing. And
yeah, that really disturbed me. That out of everything in the documentary, I think that moment where she's talking about the harassment of these people and the harassment of their kids, and she's laughing about it. That's troublesome.
I mean, she's someone who, again, you're fighting for your life, but at the same point, you're willing to, like, just demonize these people that really have nothing to do with this. But I'm going to guess maybe she believes the story hook, line, and sinker of that he was beaten up, that the attorneys planted in her mind. And that's what she goes with. Is that how she's able to justify this? Because in her mind, they're against her, and then she has to be against them because there's no other thing here. I mean, another clip she's talking about, it's me or Jen McCabe. One of us is going down. And I mean, that's essentially what she says in the documentary. And it's like, no, Jen McCabe's not on trial. You are. So it's very, very bizarre. She's so close to this family and these kids. And I don't care how many years have gone by. What are you doing connecting yourself to somebody that vile, that out there, that's doing things like that? That's just so, I don't know what the hell that is. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at another piece of this. Really pointing the two different versions of Karen Reed that we see out there that others have noticed as well. Take a look at this.
I think there's two versions of Karen Reed inside the courtroom. There's the version when the jury's present and the version when they're not. And when the jury is not present, Karen Reed is often looking back and talking to her family, who's sitting right behind her, laughing, making small talk with her attorneys. But when the jury is there, she is often very stoic, lips pursed to a degree, looking straight forward at the witness.
Before the jury comes in, she's posing for pictures with Yannetti and Jackson and these spectators who get to come in, and those are getting posted all over social media.
It was really quite unprofessional, the way they all carried on. A lot of giggling, a lot of fun. Well, John's family has to watch that.
There's a claustrophobic feel in that room. The defendant is maybe 4 or 5 feet away from us, so it was impossible to not notice Karen's demeanor. In between witnesses, during witness testimony, she would look over and mumble something to her counsel, and then she'd smile or laugh or turn around to her parents and roll her eyes.
Excuse me, this is funny, Ms. Reed? All right, we're done.
I'm sure the O'Keefes hate every minute of this. I'm sure they hate every time I turn around, but does not bother me sitting that close to John's family. I've done nothing wrong.
Despite very brutal evidence provided, where jurors were crying, there was not a single hint of emotion from Karen. Not a single moment did she show a modicum of sadness or loss. And that is telling.
You know, you may have done nothing wrong. You may not have hit him, but what you did do wrong is get behind accusing like a whole family of people and their friends and children of murdering your boyfriend, and then getting behind a catalyst and someone who is willing to pretty much go out there in a very ideological, fundamentalist, zealot sort of way, rally these people up and go to their lowest instincts for them to be vitriolic and horrible to all these people around your city and ruin lives. So yeah, Karen, that is what you're guilty of. Maybe not John O'Keefe, but killing John O'Keefe, but this is part of what you're guilty of after the fact. What's your thoughts, Siobhan?
Yeah, very much so. It's just a horrible, horrible tragedy. I think you and I are probably on the same page that we'll never really know what happened and what role she did or didn't have in it. You know, it's hard to say, but the role of alcohol can't be disputed. If none of those people had been drinking excessively that night, John would still be alive. And I think that's a lesson that everyone can take away from this. But the way that this trial has gone down, you know, I agree with you about the murder charges being excessive and inappropriate. I don't see any evidence that she intended to kill him. And we don't know. We'll probably never know. But the whole thing is really sickening. And it's just awful what it's done to the community and to so many people.
I mean, to literally go from a guy who had, I mean, a massive funeral, you had the whole town coming out and paying tribute to him. I mean, it was quite a you know, a spectacle in a good way for a very horrible situation. To then literally having the parents of that officer being booed as they walk into the courtroom over the trial of the death of their son by the people that she's supporting. And I'm not saying she's necessarily supporting the individuals, but if she's having those conversations with the blogger, she's supporting the actions. If you didn't support that, you should be telling them, hey, not okay. These families out here, these people, they're innocent. You can't be harassing them. You gotta take a stand there. But apparently she's not. That doesn't seem to be a thing. She flat out says she doesn't feel guilty about it. She already just justified it. One more clip before we wrap up this conversation. And this is, I think, an interesting one where she talks about how she feels and where she's at mentally right now. And I want to talk about that for a second before we wrap. Let's take a look.
So this was John when he left to go out to see if McCarthy's, he's with his friend Mike. And John's going to move his car to a corner of the driveway so I can park in the garage in his stall because it's about to snow. And that's the last time he ever got out of his car. He never drove a car. Puts his baseball hat on. That was found on February 3rd. I don't feel much anymore. I feel sad for him, but it's all a precursor to this nightmare I'm living in. And when I used to watch it, like, I just felt, poor guy. I mean, everything he's doing is for the last time. Now it's become all about me. And I feel like I've mourned him and I'm fighting for him, but the fights have shifted to me now. I got to save myself.
What's your reaction to that way of thinking?
That's a pretty deep statement. Now it's about me and I've got to save myself. And it really does feel like that's the motivating force here. And hard to put myself into that mind state, how you would ever stop mourning for him.
Yeah. Even when she said, at first I was like, poor guy, like, I think it'd be more than like, poor guy. Like, if the person I was like dating for 2 years, even if you're on the end of it, even if it's coming to an end, they die in such a tragic manner. And you don't know if you were involved because you were too blackout drunk to know. I think I'd be feeling more than poor guy, but again, it doesn't make her a killer. It makes her someone who has a lack of empathy and there's some reason for that. I don't know what it is. It's not our job to necessarily figure that out, but I think that that's a key part in all of this. And I think that's a part that drives a lot of the public nuts is there doesn't seem to be a lot of empathy. It just seems to be a lot of vitriol to something this horrible. And that's what makes it, it's a trial that's not even necessarily about the death of John O'Keefe anymore. It's about whose personality do you like better? And unfortunately, there's not a good answer on either side, because each of them seem to have a lot of warts.
Yeah, definitely. And it's really highlighted by a statement like that, which is very non-empathic and seems very cold. And yeah, she's not mourning him. And it's just sad.
It is.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.